przyjaciele. Małych chłopcian murowy poszedł na dwie za nimi. Przyjaciele. Pozdrawiam.
اگر اروپا و کشورهای مهم مثل روسیه و چین این خلأ بین المللی را پر کنند شاید راهی برای ادامه مسیر باشد در غیر این صورت جمهوری اسلامی با اقدامات هسته‌ای خود ایشان را سر عقل می آورد و این را بدانند که در چنین شرایطی ایران هیچ تعهدی ندارد که در جایگاه گذشته خود در مسئله هسته‌ای قرار بگیرد.
دشمن به خودش یک شب آرام ندیده دشمن به خودش یک شب آرام ندیده کم کم همه جا میرسد آوای حسینی بین المللی میشود این ارث خمینی آرام و قرار همه کفر به هم خود بیداری اسلامی دنیا
The deadline for attaining this goal is getting extremely close.
And Iran, by the way, is also outpacing Iraq in the development of ballistic missile systems that they hope will reach the eastern seaboard of the United States within 15 years.
By next spring, at most, by next summer, at current enrichment rates, they will have finished the medium enrichment and move on to the final stage. From there, it's only a few months, possibly a few weeks, before they get enough enriched uranium for the first bomb. The foremost sponsor of global terrorism could be weeks away from having enough enriched uranium for an entire arsenal of nuclear weapons. That would place a militant Islamic terror regime weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
If not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year, it could be within a few months, less than a year.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And obviously the news of the week is the war that has now broken out in Iran, in the Middle East, yet again, not shocking, but yet still somewhat surprising for some. We're going to talk about that and much more over the course of the 2 hours that you have me. We'll be right back after a brief break here in a moment. We're talking Iran, Israel, America, America First, the MAGA movement, a bunch of other things. We're going to get to a lot over the course of 2 hours, so strap in. And we'll be right back in a moment.
We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus. Classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast. This is Sunday Night Live on InfoWars. The war has broken out with Iran, and I just want to talk to you. I'm glad that I got 2 full hours and we have these nice, big 22-minute segments for me to just go through some things. And I may say something tonight that fundamentally tanks my U.S. Senate campaign, may ruin a lot of relationships. That's just kind of the nature of the political climate that we live in. But I'm going to do it anyway. I get the sense, I was telling somebody the other day, there's a phrase we used to use, is, you know, learning how to pace a shower. Do you know how to pace a shower? Can you pace a shower properly? In our culture right now, the climate is just hot or cold, scalding hot, freezing cold, shock on both ends. And I don't say that to promote or encourage being lukewarm either. I say it to mean we kind of have three places on the political spectrum or in our political culture. You have scalding hot, you have freezing cold, or you have lukewarm, moderate, milquetoast, can't call the balls and strikes. The real crisis in our leadership is we have trouble calling the balls and strikes accurately and with consistency. Just being able to call the balls and strikes on a multitude of things because there's a war on many fronts. And this is a prime example. So tonight, I just want to walk through sort of hierarchical priority list. How I think. I mean, maybe I'm crazy. And maybe at the end of this two-hour segment, people will look back and go, man, that Royce White was absolutely out of his mind. But maybe, just maybe, people slowly come back to what I regard as a more sane place on a lot of these things. Okay, hierarchically, as a human being, what are my priorities? God, family, country, in that order. God, family, country, in that order. In the country part, God, faith, family, security, protection, can they eat? Do they have shelter? Those kind of basic things. Country. Get to country, you think, citizen. I'm a citizen of a country. What does it mean to be a citizen? What things are a priority for me as a citizen of a country? Number one, what can I do for my country? It's not what your country can do for you. It's what you can do for your country. So that should be, ruminating around in there somewhere. But you have things like holding your government and elected officials accountable to set policy and govern in a way that puts your interests first as a citizen. Whether that be the laws, whether that be the way that the roads work, is logistically, whether that be, quality of life, standard of living, cost, affordability, policy, trade policy, safety, public safety. These are some of the things that you should be thinking about as a citizen. What are my priorities as a citizen? What standards do I hold my government to? How do I hold them accountable? How do I go about participating in the political process from a citizen mindset? Do I regard myself as a citizen of a nation or a citizen of a global society? Important distinctions to make. It gets tricky in here, especially when we talk about war. And I want to say this on the front end. I think society is getting out of control. That's just the bottom line. Society is getting out of control. We started a clock when we split the atom. that essentially said we're going to have an arms race to the very end of who wants to press the button of doomsday first. We're going to have an international arms race. We're going to have a self-fulfilling replacement of artificial intelligence. We are going to grow technology and advance technology so that people can have more information than ever, but place no priority on the wisdom needed to go along with it to keep people safe from it. And right now, technology is out of control. We have no clue, and I mean absolutely no clue, other than what we see every day, that people are losing their minds. We are really seeing in real time people losing their minds at a level that I don't think we've ever seen before. And I don't mean your severely mentally ill people who used to be in insane asylums, and we shut the insane asylums down, so now they're walking around on your streets, sometimes stabbing a young innocent woman in the neck on a bus or a train. Not that. I mean people who used to be functionally sane are starting to lose their minds right before our very eyes. That being said, and that aside, we have no clue, no real clue, what the algorithms, what social media, what the artificial intelligence and all of the applications that they now have in military have done to the psychology, the mind of people in this country, all around the world, and what it's done to the culture writ large. We have no real clue where technology is taking us, but more importantly, where it's brought us to right now. So we look up and we see a video of the Ayatollah or President Trump, myself, Alex Jones, pick somebody, and we don't even know if it's real anymore. And that is the unfortunate and dark reality of what we're dealing with right now today. So what does that mean? That means that we're going to have to refine culture on the fly because we've made a decision, a categorical decision, that we're not slowing down with the advancement of technology. That train has already left the station. That Pandora's box is already open, and nobody even seems remotely interested in closing it again. Do you want to go down to the root of what the crisis is in this country? I'll take you right there. Before we get to Iran and Israel and these globalists versus nationalists and the Zionists and the Muslim Brotherhood and the Republicans and Democrats, let's go right to the heart of the issue that everybody understands. It's the elephant in the room, but we don't want to address because the technology's gotten so good. We would much rather take on the risk of that spiraling out of control by scapegoating that problem onto everything else. That's the problem. The problem is we have made a decision as a species, as a country, as a people. If technology gets out of control, so be it, because the ride is great. Enjoy the ride. Okay, fine. Even if that's the decision that we've made and that's the route we're going to go, we damn sure better try and refine the culture on the fly. We have two choices now in this country, two choices really all around the world, revolution or renaissance. We can have a renaissance, a political, social, cultural, spiritual renaissance, or we can have a revolution. I kind of think we should go the renaissance route. But again, it's going to take a discipline and an organization of logic and critical thought and first principles if we have any chance whatsoever of threading a needle. And I guess I always bring it back to sports because I'm a lifelong athlete. In athletics and sports, we understand the fight against perfection. And there is a double-sided fight against perfection. there's a duality here, and the human condition, the human existence is full of dualities. There's a duality with perfection. It's because you always want to strive to be perfect. Anybody who's not striving to be perfect doesn't really have a good sense of purpose and meaning and drive. You always want to strive to be perfect at anything you do. But you can't want to be perfect so much that it gives you paralysis. There's a saying that perfect can be the enemy of the good. So you have to fight. There's a fight against perfection on both sides of the coin. What does that leave us with? Again, you have hot, you have cold. And now what most people have come to recognize is the moderate milquetoast middle, what the scripture calls lukewarm, is just as dangerous as the extremes. So now there's even a sense that people who are steady, calm, and can call the balls and strikes consistently can't be trusted. We've lost all faith that there are people in our society that can effectively call the balls and strikes consistently who aren't corrupt. And we did that. I understand, we the people, we did that to our own society and our own culture. We played fast and loose with the truth. We turned a blind eye when all of these milquetoast, moderate, middle-of-the-road folks told us they were governing and doing things in our interest as citizens, as people, and they were really lying straight to our face, but they did it with an offering of material wealth, an increase of material wealth, or at least a perception of an increasing standard of living or quality of life. So we let it slide. Trust is at an all-time low, and for good reason. So not only do we have to fight the unfettered, unlimited, out of control advancement of technology, which we have no clue where it's headed. We have to do it on the fly. We have to refine a culture in a time where trust is at an all-time low. For good reason. How do you do it? How do you find that happy balance? It's like athletes, I don't know what it is, but it's so clear to me, the correlation. As an athlete, you have to find that happy balance, that medium. And it's a term that we refer to in the basketball world or with basketball players as, again, pace. We have to find the right pace through this chaos we're seeing. There's a pace here. There's a tempo. There's a flow. There's a cadence that we have to find. And I think it's more intellectual than it is political or it is, anything else. It's more intellectual. There's an intellectual, our intellectual cadence is way off, probably due to the mind virus of liberalism, for sure. I mean, that can be put right out in front. Communism, sure. Satanism, of course. I mean, demonic influence has a way of throwing your spiritual and intellectual cadence off. But it's not just that. It's not only those things. Our pace is off because of the information, social media, and this sort of biological need, this biological tendency to separate ourselves into groups so we feel more secure about the things we think. And I say this not to pat myself on the back, but people like myself were made for a time such as this because I don't need a co-signature. I don't care if you like me. I don't care if you agree. I don't care if I'm in your little group or I'm out of your little group. When I see you, wave, nod, hi, hug, give me, Jesus loves you. And I'm good with that. Because I know he loves me. Because I'm going to be a watchman on the wall until the day that I die, till the day that they kill me. Let's walk through this thing. Rigorously, from an intellectual standpoint, practically, okay? Let's start on this end. I'm gonna work my way to the bottom. But let's start again. As a citizen, what things should we demand from our government? Are the elections secure? And that's my numero uno right now. Are our elections secure? The answer is absolutely not. Our elections aren't secure. And until that happens, I have real question about everything else that's taken place. And I mean everything. Until somebody can tell me why our elections aren't secure or why it's not our government's number one priority, and I mean number one with no close second. Why our elections are not secure? I have questions about everything else going on, hierarchically. But let's go away from the most remote, that which is most approximate to us, that which is most local. Our own elections aren't secure. Let's go to the global scale for a moment. We're in an asymmetric war. We're in an asymmetrical war with a country that we helped build, root and branch. China, the Chinese Communist Party, we built it into the monster that it is. And now they're going all around the world, colonizing by asymmetric means, not by force, but they come bearing gifts. They come with their industrialization. They come with their technology. They come with their speed of manufacturing and their ability to provide a material wealth, a material cost, a material high that we right now in America can't match because we supplemented our manufacturing to them. So we're losing an asymmetric war with our national mortal enemy. And make no mistake about it, they are our national mortal enemy. Is it because they're China and we're America? No. Is it even because they're communists and we're capitalists? No. No, it's because in China they believe that the Chinese people have supremacy of the human race, that they have a mandate from heaven. They are the supreme human beings on this planet, and everybody else is subhuman. And they also believe that government should be the highest authority in society. In our country, we believe that the sovereign individual is the highest authority in society, only transcended by God himself. Two diametrically opposing views of the structure of government, the proper structure of government, and the hierarchy between man and God. That's why they're our national mortal enemy. And it just so happens they are at a point where they're almost strong enough, powerful enough, technologically advanced enough to really challenge us for the number one spot as the world superpower. That makes them our national mortal enemy. And so we find ourselves in what the historians or the political experts would call the Thucydides trap, that us and China are on a collision course. Dangerous, dangerous theory. Because now where does the local become the global and vice versa? Now you can make a justification that if Iran supplies essential oil to the Chinese and they and China and Russia are in this three-way alliance referred to as the Iron Triangle with a little North Korea or maybe a little India or a little of some other people in between like Venezuela, then global action, military action, does become in the best vital interest of our nation. And that's the claim that's being made. And anybody who said, and stick with me. You can make that argument. You can make that argument with perfect utility. We are in an asymmetric war, and nobody really knows when the doomsday button is going to be hit or who's going to hit it first. We can make that argument. Okay. Sounds good on paper for the theater. And I'm not undermining the seriousness of our enemies or their ability to harm us. What I'm saying is we have to thread a needle. We have to find a happy balance. We have to find a pace through this chaos. We are a performer on a unicycle, on a tightrope at a circus. And sure, we have a lot of things going our way. Skill, mastery, experience. A past that proves that we've been able to walk through this technological advancement with some, you know, with some sort of competence. But that doesn't guarantee that we can continue on this way. That doesn't guarantee that our next misstep is the one that does us in. There are no guarantees, especially when you cross into the fog of war and the law of unintended consequences. There are certainly no guarantees. And anybody who tells you different is lying to you. Respectfully. Let's take it down a step. Ayatollah was asking for it. Iran's been asking for it. All these Arab countries have been asking for it. There's no doubt about that. You yell death to America long enough, you end up in a fight. They know it. We know it. Even more importantly, maybe our other enemies know it. And maybe we are getting pulled into something that we shouldn't be in. I'm going to get to that in a moment, that theory of the case. But in principle, don't cry, don't yell death to America and then cry genocide. Don't yell death to America and then cry genocide. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I don't feel bad for you. I'm not going to shed a tear for you. I'm sorry. Because in my neighborhood, if you ask for a fight, you get one mouth. And maybe you come back with a knife. And maybe they come back with a gun. And maybe two people end dead. Or two families or rival gangs or whatever the case may be. Maybe several people end up dead before people finally say, you know what, we've had enough of the killing. There's better things to do with our life. Sometimes that lasts for generations. That's what we're seeing there in the Middle East. And there's a connection to us. They view us as the great Satan. That's why I played the video there. And there is an Islamification that is on the horizon. It happened in Europe. This isn't conjecture. It's not my opinion. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not something I'm being fed by the neoconservative deep state. I'm watching it. I live in Minneapolis. There's call to prayer five times a day on the loudspeakers in the city ordinance limits, and they don't even want kids to be able to pray in the public schools. Pray to Christ in the public school. So I'm watching the Islamification up close. The question is, how dire is the Islamification? It's dire for Europe. 10% of their population is already Muslim. It's dire for the Middle East because Israel is surrounded. Is it dire for us in America? That's the question we need to be thinking about, and that's the question we have to answer. And that's what I'm going to talk about here on the other side of the break. Was the threat of Iran imminent? Was it imminent? You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition, in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access, effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, a systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you gotta get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds and weighed 180 pounds. Squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of our CMOS and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight. And it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big Lee's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And obviously, today we're talking about Iran at a deep sort of, you know, pragmatic, political nuts and bolts kind of level. Before the break, I went from the China level, the global level, the four-player jump ball, and that's what we're in geopolitically. There's a four-player jump ball. China, Russia, European elites in Davos, whatever's going to happen there in the Middle East theater, the Middle East, Africa sort of, you know, whole of things, and us, and America, the Western Hemisphere. And there's that great map that you see cut up into three sections. One half, the Western Hemisphere, says President Trump. The other half says Mr. Putin. And, you know, the other third says Mr. Xi Jinping. Talked about that sphere. We're in an asymmetrical war. And we have no idea where, first of all, where AI is bringing all of human civilization. We have no idea what it's doing to our culture, to our psychology right here at home. And we have no idea the role that AI will play in the arms race, even the sentiment between us and our enemies, and from their vantage as well. Because if I was AI, I mean, the real dangerous dynamic here, and if I was artificial intelligence, I'd try and get everybody to wipe themselves out. I'd try and get humanity to just wipe themselves out. Problem is, they're not energy sufficient enough yet. I mean, this is the Matrix narrative playing out right before our eyes, or, you know, potentially playing out before our eyes. And we haven't even given that a lot of credit or merit yet. That maybe the algorithms, which every day, every week, we're hearing more and more horror stories about AI doing things that is, you know, just right out of a sci-fi horror film. And it's always the buried lead. I mean, it's always page, it's not even page 7, it's page 17, and that's by design. But we don't know how far this thing really, you know, is along yet. So we're dealing with that. Plus, we are in an asymmetrical war of two diametrically opposed cultures and views of the construction of government and the orientation of man to God, us, China. Then you get down to the level of the Irans and the blood feuds that have been going on there in the Middle East for thousands of years. And sure, you can make a great case. The Iranians were asking for it. The mullahs were asking for it. A lot of these Arab countries, a lot of these Muslim countries are asking for it. They have no problem screaming death to America. They have no problem screaming for the death of our nation. And they find a strange woke liberal alliance with people that I'm seeing right here in Minneapolis that fly the Free Palestine flag, although they have no real care about the Palestinians whatsoever. They show that because they vote for politicians who are funded by AIPAC. I mean, the same people who said Free Palestine here in Minnesota, I'm almost certain, at least by the statistics, at least by the maybe fake election results in 2024 here in Minnesota, and we're going to clean those elections up, hopefully get some real elections so that we can get some real numbers and see where things really are. But by the numbers as they stand, a lot of the same people who said Free Palestine voted for Amy Klobuchar, and she's one of the most AIPAC-funded politicians in the entire country. Contradiction. The Muslim countries yell death to America, but they take our money. They accept our money. They're not hateful enough towards our country not to accept our money. In my neighborhood, you yell long enough, you scream tough enough, enough times, you get punched in the mouth. And that's on the good end of outcomes. Sometimes, you know, I know people who, you know, playing a dice game or at a card game and got shot and killed over a petty argument. Oh, you touched the dice. Oh, you flipped that card over. Shot and killed right there at the gambling house. So we know the escalatory nature of things, especially between men. All of that being said, the question for America has to be, what are America's priorities? Number one priorities, top of the list priorities. First, promises made, promises kept. The MAGA movement, and I'm going to continue to wear my hat and try and encourage the President of the United States and all the others around him who may be advising him that there is a political fight happening in our own country. Quite a nail biter, I might add, if Minneapolis is any indicator, that some people have completely broken from reality, yet they still get to cast a vote because that's the way our country is constructed. People who are completely out of their mind get to vote. So we have to deal with that. Part of dealing with that is we are in a narrative war, an information war, as Alex Jones has so eloquently put it and carried the flag for three decades. We are in an information war. And on days like today, we're losing that information war. We're losing the narrative. First and foremost, promises made, promises kept. In my last campaign, I said, border, debt, forever wars. And God bless President Trump. The border is closed. Crime is down. And the economy is up. Don't let them tell you anything different. The border's closed. Crime is down. The economy is up. Which will eventually solve a lot of the debt issues. And I said this in my 2024 convention speech. The last issue is where we're going to have a split in the room. And I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with it here tonight. The forever wars. We can't continue to protect everybody else's borders more than we protect our own. We can't prioritize other people's territorial integrity more than we have our own. I'm not losing an ounce of sleep that the Ayatollah is dead. I'm not shedding a tear that the Ayatollah is dead. I wouldn't shed a tear if the entire IRGC, you know, we woke up tomorrow and they were completely evaporated. Wouldn't make any difference to me because they yelled death to America. You ask for a fight, you get a fight. However, priorities, the priority in this country is that our elections are secured. Nobody can give me a good reason why the politics or the hostility or the threat there in the Middle East is more important than the security of our own elections. What in the world makes us so arrogant that we think we could properly oversee any long-term regime changes in any other part of the world when our own elections aren't even secure? By its own premise, it's a short-sighted plan. I don't want to hear the long-term plans of Iran and there's 90 million people, but the Iranians are going to overthrow, the Persians are going to overthrow the mullahs and so on and so forth. And it's all a short-term plan because if we don't secure these elections, if we don't make that the number one priority, all of this stuff is going to be undone anyway. It's going to be undone starting in 2026. God forbid in 2028, it's really going to come undone. And we all know it. Without secure elections, none of this stuff even matters. And I don't say that to discourage people from getting involved in the process. It, actually, the opposite, the exact opposite. I'm telling people, it bothers me that so many of you Christians in this country are glued to your television screens listening to Mark Levin scream and celebrate about this Iran war, and we still have not secured our own elections. It actually makes me angry. It makes me want to be somewhat impolite to some of my Christian brothers and sisters. Why are you glued to the screen like a little kid at a Major League Baseball game celebrating a war that we've gotten ourselves into now? It's going to consume everybody's time and energy and resources, and it's going to consume the headlines on the nightly news, all to distract us from the plot. The main plot is that our elections aren't secure. The Democrats agree. The Democrats agreed in 2018. The Republicans agree. A good portion of American citizens, regardless of their race, their age, their religion, their gender, agree that we should have IDs, that there should be mandatory IDs and proof of citizenship to vote like there is in almost every other country in the world, even in Somalia, where Ilhan Omar wants to make it seem is so much better than this country. They got voter ID there in Somalia, Ilhan. For some reason, we don't hear. And that's conspicuous to say the very least. We don't have time right now to be involved in a full-blown kinetic conflict in Iran. And at the same time that I say that, we find ourselves in a position where we're in it now. We're in it. And it's not my choice whether we pull out of it. It's not your choice. The President of the United States' choice. And he probably has information that he's privy to that we don't. I don't want to hear Mark Levin or anybody else on the Israel side of things saying that they were weeks away from a bomb. You're not going to run that narrative on me again. Just come out and tell me we wanted to cut the Chinese oil off. We wanted to cut the Chinese off from oil, more oil, after Venezuela. And that was a Chinese oil, basin. We wanted to cut some more oil off and put more pressure on the Chinese. Just tell me that. Kiss me. Kiss me while you screw me. Please, kiss me. I'm an American citizen, and I think the American people are rightfully skeptical of these kinds of things, these types of actions. Again, and we find ourselves in a strange place because we're talking about military action. So at some level, the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, doesn't want to telegraph what he's going to do or what he's thinking or what the strategy is for his enemies, because then that would kind of be a self-defeatist way of going about things as well. We're going to put it on MSNBC so the entire American public feels comfortable with the war that we're in. We're going to tell our enemies what our strategy is and what we plan to do. No good leader who actually plans on winning a war would do something like that. You see the position we find ourselves in? And that's why I said earlier in the show, the beginning of the show, we have to thread a needle and find the right pace. That's why I think this was a mistake. Happy the Ayatollah is dead. You yell death to America? Screw you. Screw you. And your blue suede shoes. Screw you. I don't care. They're not going to lose any sleep. Because they would have done it to us. And that's a reality that the American people have to become comfortable with as well. All of these people you have this sympathy for, all you woke, leftist lunatics, have all this sympathy for people who would just as soon walk into a restaurant with a bomb, under their coat in a vest and rip the cord and blow you to pieces without a second thought. If they had the capacity to dominate the world the way the American military has, they would do it, and you would suffer underneath it. You would suffer under that tyranny, the same way their people suffered under the tyranny. And it just strikes me as odd that Alex Preddy and Renee Good die in what the left calls rightful protest, yet the Iranians, the mullahs, mow down tens of thousands of Iranians who are protesting, and you don't find any problem with that. Isn't that weird? Is that strike anybody else as odd? That the left doesn't seem to have a problem? That their hatred of America, their hatred of their own country, their hatred of their own national religion to a degree, as Christianity is the predominant national religion, their hatred of their own heritage and culture is so profound that they cheer on people who have declared themselves enemies of their country, of their way of life, of their heritage and culture, when they publicly do the same exact things the left say is evil and tyrannical here at home. Contradiction. Hard to thread a needle, hard to find that happy medium, that balance with too much contradiction. I cannot stand the way that the Jewish identity has been used to silence and censor and discredit anybody who has any legitimate questions about this conflict in the Middle East, this ongoing conflict in the Middle East, and our relationship with it as America and American citizens. I cannot stand it. It disgusts me. It disgusts me, and it should disgust Jews everywhere. It should disgust American citizens. It should disgust Christians, because I know it would disgust Christ. I know Christ would be disgusted with the way the Jewish identity has been used to silence and censor the truth. And I ask myself a question. Why are all these people who never liked President Trump and never really supported President Trump now celebrating President Trump? When I see that happen, alarms go off in my head. When I see Tom Cotton and Mark Levin Tom Cotton came from under the tutelage of Bill Kristol, who's a neoconservative, war-mongering, now communist bootlicker, and he is. Bill Kristol was licking Mom Donnie's boots before that election, never forget, and his father was an conservative intellectual thought leader extraordinaire. That's who Tom Cotton, that's who produced Tom Cotton.
And, you know, I get the president's real impressed with Tom Cotton because he's tall and he's a combat veteran and he went to Harvard. He has a couple PhDs. You know what? Take your PhDs and shove them up your rear end, buddy. We're not impressed. Come to my neighborhood. That's what we need. Give me the first 100 rednecks in this country before the first 100 PhDs any day of the week and twice on Sundays. Give me the first 100 rednecks with a MAGA hat before the first 100 PhDs coming out of Harvard any day of the week and twice on Sundays. I think Tom Cotton is a coward. I think he's a coward and he's a con artist. And he may say the same thing about me. Look at this dumb Negro wearing a MAGA hat. Don't you know MAGA's a racist movement? Don't you know America First is just a dog whistle for racism and anti-Semitism? You know what? We're sick of it, buddy. We're sick of it. And even if that's the case, even if underneath all of this logical consistency that America should prioritize America First is some underlying, unspoken racial and religious tension that we're really harboring or we're displacing, we'll work that out. We'll work that out on the other side. I was just in a room last night at a church up in Park Rapids, Minnesota. Myself and the great Mike Lindell were the keynote speakers. And I think myself and Mike Lindell are going to, start to team up here and go against the rhino establishment that hates President Trump right here in the state of Minnesota. They say Mike Lindell's unelectable. They say I'm unelectable. When you hear the word electable, like Tom Cotton, you should fear it. You should hear the word electable and fear it. The electable ones are the ones who got us in the crisis. The electable ones brought us to where we are today. But I was just in a room last night, and everybody in the room was white. Everybody. 3 hours from the Twin Cities. Everybody in the room, ultra MAGA, loves this country, loves God, supports President Trump, loves the idea of us putting America's priorities first. All white. I didn't feel uncomfortable at all. Not in the least. Because some things do transcend race. Some ideas do transcend the color of people's skin. Some ideas do transcend a history of tension and conflict. Some ideas transcend those things. Freedom. Liberty. Rights, citizenship, nationhood, national honor, sacred honor. And that's what I talked to the crowd about last night. And that's what I'm talking to you about here tonight. Skip, because both things can be true. Iran can be a genuine threat. And the Islamification of the entire world can be a genuine threat. We already see it happening in Europe, and we need to separate from the Europeans. I'll say it again. I've said it here on this show before. The Europeans should subsidize Israel. The Europeans should subsidize Israel as a litmus test for how serious they take the Islamification in their own country. And while they're at it, they can stop educating all these Gucci Bedouins from Saudi Arabia or anywhere else in the Middle East they come from, who are all educated at Cambridge or Oxford or wherever else they get their fancy PhDs. It's why they all speak better English than we do here in America. These radical Muslim extremist leaders in the Middle East, they speak better English than you and I. They have perfect Oxford diction. Gucci Bedouins. And we've been on both sides of the trade for a long time. I understand the sentiment. Let's just blast through all of these walls and find out who our real friends and enemies are. I understand that strategic approach. We're done being on all sides of the trade. We're done giving people who yell death to America our money. We're done with it. We're going to blast through all of these walls, regime by regime, and figure out who really wants to fight and who doesn't. I understand that approach. I really do. I'm not a pacifist. I get it. But if we're going to hit all these enemies, let's just hit them all at once. What are we slow walking for? Hit Turkey next. Former Senator Norm Coleman's meeting with local CEOs here in Minnesota for breakfast, for a luncheon, and he's talking about Turkey already. He's trying to build up the consensus, to manufacture the consensus, the consent that Turkey's next. And when we and when we clean these mullahs' clocks, are we done then? Are we done in the Middle East? Once we've killed the Ayatollah. And the next guy is going to pop up, and we're going to kill him too, and the rest of the Iranian guard there, and we're going to have a complete regime change in Iran, and Iran's going to modernize and become Western overnight when the Persians take back control from 50 years ago. And then are we done? After this four-week campaign, are we done in the Middle East? Then can we get back to securing our own elections? Mark your calendar. Start your clock now. Hit a timer. Put a timer on your iPhone. They said 4 weeks. The long number's 4 weeks. We're weeks away from clearing out this regime, this rot, this infection of these radical extremist mullahs. Great. Fine. I have no control whether you do it or not. Would I have done it? Show me where the threat was imminent. Okay? Show me where. But we're in it now. Okay. Blast through. Be my guest. Then are we done? Because I heard the same thing when we blew up the nuclear sites. And President Erdogan was there after October 7th and said, death to the West, cross versus crescent. And he's hanging on to a couple of our NATO nukes. So is Turkey next? Should we hit the cartels too in Mexico while we're at it? How about the communists there to the north, the Canadians? Watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're talking about Iran, Israel, and America on the other side of the break. Stay tuned for more.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.